It's News Talk Tonight on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Is that Black Sabbath? No. Sean's just nodding his head no. Tell me who that is, Sean. It's okay. It's a four-hour long show.
That you have time. Space Truckin' by Deep Purple.
Space Truckin' by Deep Purple. Of course it is. Of course it is. I'm already losing on my ongoing game of name that tune, but I hope I'll pick up some points later on in the show. For the last rundown, that's where we bring together all kinds of experts and we go over the big stories of the week and the day. For the last rundown of the year, we've really stacked the deck. We have Andrew Pinsent. He's the host of CFRA Live 6 a.m. to 11 a.m. weekends in Ottawa. That's a long show, Andrew.
It is. You're not the first person to say that. I call it like a half marathon.
Yeah.
But we make it through.
Good. And are you on tomorrow?
We are actually not. So we've tapped out CFRA Live for this week. Welcome back to 2023. We're coming back.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to that. And then Matt Cause is here, TSN 1050 host, writer for CFL.ca, and a wine expert, a sommelier. We're going to talk a little bit later on about champagne and all kinds of fun stuff like that. But Matt, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks so much. I feel shame. I usually only have 2 or 3 hour radio shows, so I feel a little shame right now.
Well, I'm here for four.
If you want to take over half of it, there, Matt, you can go for it.
I'm here for four tonight. Andrews does five, so yeah.
Absolutely not. I work in sports. I have the easy job, so no, I'm fine where I am.
So lots to talk about here, and I mean, if I have a New Year's resolution, and I don't know really that I'm going to make them this year, but if I had one, it would be to ignore news about Donald Trump in 2023, but this is kind of bombshell stuff, and I think we should probably talk about some of the key takeaways from Donald Trump's tax returns. He fought for years to keep the returns private. He made no charitable donations in 2020 and made his own tax law that may have cost him. Here's, you know, a running list in the New York Times of some of the kind of bombshell revelations that happened there. I mean, we can go through them all. You know, he didn't take a full refund in a bad year for business, but that may actually have worked out in his favor. His own tax law may have cost him money. There's all sorts of things here. Was it the right thing to do to make this public, or is this really a privacy issue? Andrew, let's start with you.
Well, it really makes it difficult to ignore him in the news, right? Even though we try so hard. But I think this is the right thing to do just in terms of following precedent and understanding the president's wealth. I don't think anybody really in the public consciousness really, you know, cares about the ins and outs of businesses. You know, a billionaire or a millionaire is probably going to have some shady practices. I think people have just kind of, I guess, accepted that. But I think if people, you know, don't know if there's, you know, foreign wealth involved in why he's in some of his decision making or things like that, I think that's kind of important for people to know. So the fact they had to pull so much teeth to kind of get this from him when every other president has done it, just kind of, I don't know, par for the course for Trump. But I think one of the things that kind of sums up, I think, Trump very nicely on this one is, you know, he said he was going to donate his salary to charity at this point. But the tax returns show that just didn't happen.
Yeah. Matt, I think by keeping these under wraps for so long that he actually raised interest, he actually kind of whipped things up into a bit of a frenzy here. People are really wanting to know what's in here. And it's 6,000 pages of documents, so it's going to take a while to parse all this stuff. But there's nothing here, I don't think, that I found tremendously surprising. Were you surprised at some of the revelations?
No, absolutely not. And yeah, I did giggle at the part where if he did donate in 2020, he didn't claim it on his taxes. Yeah. So clearly Trump did not give any money or give his salary up to charity. That clearly didn't happen. Mm-hmm. I will say this first. I actually muted the words Donald and Trump and all different versions of that on Twitter. So I've been able to live a mostly Trump-free life. I got to tell you, Richard, it is glorious. And the shame in the end is I like, because you said there's like 6,000 or 9,000 pages. I feel at the end he will get away with it, and if he loses money, great. I hope so, but I don't think we'll ever get that thing we always wanted, that image of him in an orange jumpsuit in cuffs being taken out of the courts. That's what we've wanted for the last like 6 years, is him in cuffs. And unfortunately, I hate to be a Debbie Downer, I don't think we'll get it this time as well.
But if it does happen, you won't know, because you've muted it all on Twitter.
I feel somehow that one will bust through, a dam breaking, and we'll all get that one.
Pierre Poilievre says Canadians are angry because they're hurting. And this is in response to a Substack that Aaron O'Toole wrote, where he says, you know, these flags, the blank Trudeau flags that are kind of prevalent, I see them almost every day somewhere, and you see them certainly during the convoy and all that kind of thing. And he said, you know, we have to stop with that. We have to stop with the divisiveness. Now, I found that kind of funny, I don't know if funny is the word, but interesting, coming from someone who, posed in front of a porta potty and made a video making fun of Justin Trudeau. So I don't know that I take O'Toole terribly seriously here, but Poilievre says, you know, we are angry because Canadians are hurting, and a lot of the reason that they're hurting is because of some of the policies of the current government. Let's hear just a little bit of audio. Sean, give me audio clip one, please.
But I think we have to ask ourselves, why are people so angry? Like, why are people so angry? And the answer is that they're hurting. You know, it's easy for the political establishment to say, stop all your complaining. But when you're one of the 1.5 million people that went to a food bank in the month of March, it's not so easy. If you're one of the people that went to the Mississauga food bank and asked for help with medical assistance in dying, not because you're sick, but because you can't afford to live, it's not so easy. If you're one of the 38-year-olds living in your parents' basement because it now takes more of a monthly paycheck to own a house than at any time in recorded history, it's not so easy to be happy with the way things are going.
He's not wrong on a lot of this. And in fact, later on the show, we're going to talk about mental health a little bit. And I think some of those points are, you know, bang on. But I just have to wonder, are these insightful points, or is this just political pandering? Andrew, what do you think?
Well, from a political perspective, I think, you know, all good political messaging is a little bit of both, because mm-hmm. you're kind of weaving through what people's experience is with your own kind of party's message. I think he's absolutely right. Canadians are hurting, and you know, mental health is one part. The economy is another part. And I think it's how you talk to Canadians who are hurting that is kind of the issue here. And so Aaron O'Toole is saying we need to kind of, you know, be a little bit more gentle and kind of stop being so angry. And I take Pierre Poilievre's point, but it is also a little bit rich that he has been one kind of stirring some of the anger on mm-hmm. that front as well. If he could stick to some of the pain that Canadians are facing right now, I think that's the political message he can face. But yeah, I think people also see the political pandering as well, just because of who it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
When I think of Pierre Poilievre, I don't think of warm and cuddly. Do you?
No, I don't. Actually, I don't. And it's absolutely pandering, but the message is right. Mm-hmm. If the more people are hurting, the more they're going to be angry. I think what this gets to is, I think we all would like to live in a world where there wasn't this amount of vitriol, where can we disagree but not have the level of anger that we have. And we've had it for ages. And I heard this story, and I want to try to think of a different angle versus we could spend the whole time just ripping, you know, the right or conservatives. But I was trying to think of the other side. And this is going to be a weird reference, but I remember like Mitt Romney back in 2012 when he was talking about there was issues about pay equity with women. And he had a line about a binder of women. And all it really was resumes. But then the left took it as if he was this horrible misogynist person, and then they painted him out to be evil. And this is something that goes so long on both sides, where we're, instead of just talking policy, we're focused too much on feelings and character assassination.
And I'm going to interrupt you there, and we'll pick this up on the other side of the break. I'm Richard Krause, in for Jim Richards. You're listening to News Talk Tonight. Stay with me. Bye.
You're listening to News Talk Tonight on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Who am I? I'm Richard Krause, sitting in for Jim Richards on News Talk Tonight. Jim will be back in a week. I'm in all next week, and then he comes back to bring his vocalese, his patented, trademarked vocalese to the people. He's been off for a little while. He'll be rested and raring to go. In the meantime, it's now The Rundown. And The Rundown is a segment we do every day where we have a look at the big stories of the day. Today we have Andrew Pinsent, host of the Mammoth CFRA Live from 6 to 11 a.m. weekend show in Ottawa. And Matt Kaus, TSN 1050 host, who works for a paltry, 2 hours a night?
Sometimes three.
And writer for CFL.ca, and he's a sommelier, which we'll talk about a little bit later. We're going to pick his brain about champagne. But Matt, I cut you off there. We're on the network, so when the time's up, the time's up.
That was my fault. The main point I just wanted to get to, when it comes to why everyone gets angry and there's those horrible F Trudeau flags, I think a lot of it just comes out of the fact that we focus too much on feelings and personality, who we want to have a beer with. And I wish we could go back to more just focusing on what is someone's policy and try to stick just with that.
Yeah, I always think that we have just gotten to a point where there's no nuance anymore. And it's almost like sporting teams. You know, if you like the Leafs, you can't like the Habs, and you'll fight if you're in the same bar. And I just I wish we could move away from that and get back into a time when, you know, we can disagree, but we can respectfully disagree. Bill Gates gave away a lot of money, like a whole lot of money this year. He's number one on the list of people that gave away big, big loads of money. In fact, it was $5 billion. And he is so rich, though, that since I began this sentence, he's made more money in interest than I'll be paid for the entire night. He's so rich that if he sees a $100 bill on the ground, it's not even worth his time to bend over and pick it up, because he makes more money in interest than it would take to for that to happen. So you have to wonder, then, is $5 billion, which by any metric is a gobsmacking amount of money, but is it enough money? The guy's worth $104 billion. Does it seem like he's not giving away to the extent that perhaps he should? Andrew, what do you think?
Well, I think, you know, Bill Gates, of all the billionaires, what Cole say, he seems to be kind of at the leading part of philanthropy. But in the same breath, when you're making so much money, it is easy to, that seems like rounding up his coffee purchase every day and you get $5 billion type thing. So, you know, I'm not sure if it's enough, but it really stuck out to me during the pandemic that, you know, we were all facing such hardships and, you know, the billionaires weren't stepping up enough. So I think there's more that they can definitely do with the wealth that they've accumulated, instead of perhaps, you know, spending $44 billion to buy a social media platform, that they could use that money to do well, to do good for other people around the world and not just themselves.
Matt, is Bill Gates being stingy, only giving away $5 billion?
Nope. I think he was the number one on the list. I think $5 billion is fantastic. I would focus more on his income tax rate of, I think it was like 18.4%. I did 2 minutes of Google. I think the thing I'd be more that I would rather see is, once you've hit that stratosphere, maybe you go over 18.4%.
Yeah.
We're looking at Spain right now. They're the latest country to require COVID-19 tests for passengers from China. Are you concerned, Andrew, that we're sort of headed back to the bad old days of lockdowns and all the rules that we had to follow?
Yeah, I definitely had to make sure this was the right year, or what year this was, because this seems like, it's all happening all over again. You know, it was China's lack of transparency at the beginning of this that led to this kind of huge scramble, kind of figuring out what was going on around the world. So I'm surprised Canada hasn't put something in place, just because, you know, we have a huge neighbor south of the border in the U.S. that has moved as well, Spain just being the latest. So I am surprised that they haven't moved so far, given the tough time that China is having with COVID-19 right now and cases. So I'm I am somewhat surprised and wouldn't be surprised if we see something very quickly here.
Matt, should Canada re-implement travel restrictions if cases in China surge?
Which only they appear to be. Yeah, yes, if it is really bad, but only legitimate hotspots. And I say this as I was in Cape Town, South Africa, when Omicron hit, and the whole world got scared of South Africa, and it killed their economy. Mm. I was there at the time. They were all masked up. They had much safer policies than we had here in North America. I'm all for it as long as the research is done, and it's not done out of fear or grandstanding.
And just to Matt's point, you know, they caught the Omicron variant because there was a monitoring system going on, and China's lack of transparency right now. The concern is, you know, a variant could pop up with so much COVID right now, and we're not going to know about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're listening to The Rundown on News Talk Tonight. My guests are Andrew Pinson, host of CFRA Live, 6 to 11 a.m. weekends in Ottawa, and Matt Cause, TSN 1050 host, writer for CFL.ca, and a sommelier. We'll be talking about champagne a little bit later on in the show. Let's talk about bail a little bit and who gets let out on bail. This is obviously related to the tragic killing of a young police officer earlier in the week by someone who was out on bail. And so I've been looking up things, and the criminal code lists three justifications for keeping a person accused of a crime in custody. And that's, it's necessary for making the accused attend court, or for keeping the public safe, or to maintain confidence in the administration of justice. I think that the very fact that the killer was, or the alleged killer, was out on bail suggests that that was not taken into account. I think that we really need to have a long, hard look at the bail system here and reevaluate. Andrew, do you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. And we had a criminologist from the University of Ottawa on this morning. I was filling in on the morning show here on CFRA this morning to talk about this. And he pointed to issues surrounding capacity and kind of priorities. So essentially, you know, jails and even the pre-justice system, if you want to call it that, the bail remand system is very full right now. And there's not a focus on priorities. It's just right. A matter of kind of moving people through and getting through the system as fast as possible. And perhaps it should be more on, you know, focusing on people who've had violent crimes in the past and things like that. So he sees it more of an issue of that. And it's a, you know, not just bail either, which is kind of tricky because this is before people are convicted, right? It's with parole.
Yep.
Miles Sanderson, the mass stabber in Saskatchewan that was killed 11 people earlier this year. He was deemed a non-risk to reoffend by the parole board just months before this as well. So, you know, both systems absolutely need to be reviewed. The federal government is doing so on the parole front, and I hope that gets extended between the province and the federal government when it comes to bail.
Yeah, I think that some of this is systemic. We've got issues of overcrowding in jails. We have deplorable conditions in a lot of jails, and it apparently is making judges think twice about sending someone who is presumed innocent to jail where they might have to sit for months before their case comes before trial, or in some cases years. So I think that's another issue as well. We have to start getting these trials up and running faster and more efficiently. Matt, you got a minute left. What do you think the issues are?
I'm going to keep it under a minute to make up for what I did last time. To me, the main issue is, how do you balance focusing on really keeping people that are violent offenses, and especially repeat offenders? How do you make sure the focus is on them and really make sure, if you're going to give them bail, and probably don't, especially for repeat offenders, but on the other side, make sure that you have a system that does not overly impact the poor who cannot afford it, who don't have the same means to be able to get the same sort of justice. So that for me is always the toughest balance. But yes, evaluation needs to always happen.
Guys, thanks so much. You've been listening to Andrew Pinson from CFRA in Ottawa, Matt Cause from TSN 1050 Radio, a writer for CFL.ca, and you'll be coming back a little bit later on to talk about champagne. So that'll be fun. We'll look forward to that. Happy New Year, and thanks for everything over the course of the year and that you do for the show, and we'll talk to you again very soon.
Take care.
Happy New Year, guys.
Happy New Year. I'm Richard Krause, sitting in for Jim Richards on News Talk Tonight. When we come back, we're going to meet somebody really interesting, Craig Elston. He's the owner of CC Cuts Barbershop in Buffalo, and he helped a lot of people during their terrible snowstorm last week. You'll want to stick around and hear this story. Inspiration Plus.